Hey, if we can turn to a couple places tonight, please. We are continuing our series, Be On Purpose, With a Purpose. Really, what takes place at Believer's Chapel? Why do you come to Believer's Chapel? Man, first message was on prayer. Second message was on giving. Third message was on worship. We come to give our tithes and our offerings. We come on purpose to give worship and thanks and praise week after week, service after service. This is what we do. And this one is we come on purpose weekend after weekend after weekend to receive the word. This is what takes place every service at Believer's Chapel as we dive into the word of God and we ask God, God, bring in those who are hungry. Bring in those who will have an ear to hear. Bring in those who will have an eye to see. God, bring in those whose hearts long for you, God. And man, we do this in a sense that we will come in here ready on purpose to flip these pages, get into the word of God and receive what God has for us over and over and over, believing the living God can speak to us every time we come to his word. Again, that's just not on our weekends. I'm hopeful. Please, I'm hopeful that you recognize the value of this word. You recognize the truth of this word day in and day out, day in and day out. You're getting in to the scriptures, man. You're doing your time before God. You're getting into the, you can't wait to get up and get on your face. You can't wait to get up and dig your teeth into the words that bring life, man. This is what it is here at Believer's Chapel. We come on purpose, intentionally seeking God to speak to us so we would come in ready to receive what God has for us. Come on, two places tonight, please. Hebrews 4 and 2 Timothy chapter 3. Hebrews 4, 2 Timothy chapter 3, please. And we'll just pray and ask God to bless it. Father, we thank you for our time tonight. God, we ask that you would speak to us tonight, God. God, let us see the value of your word. Help us to understand the truth of your word tonight, God. God, I love to preach from your word on your word, God. I love to come before and just evaluate this word and know how life-changing it can be for those who truly receive it and respond to it. Act on it, God. Put it to work. Put it to use in our lives. God, please open our eyes tonight to see what we need to see. God, open our ears tonight to hear exactly what you have for us tonight. And God, I pray that our hearts will be wide open to respond to what you say. Man, folks, I ask that you would ask God tonight, God, speak to me tonight, please. God, speak into my life tonight. God, help me to hear about your word, from your word tonight. And I'll respond to what you say. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, look at this. Hebrews 4 says this. Gang, I want you to know, man, do you recognize the value of this word? When you go and you're at home and you're husband and wife or you're in college, you're a high school student, you're one of our children in the children's ministry, where you are just cracking open this book that has life. You're cracking open this book that has guidance. You're cracking open this book that has everything that we need right here. It has the ability to rearrange your life. It has the ability to rearrange your marriage. It has the ability to guide your steps in such a way that you would never find yourself going. But you see it on these pages the way that we ought to go. And you see your steps, stepping one in front of the other, watching how God will use you in so many different ways because you've simply obeyed the truth. It's amazing the power of this book. It's amazing to me that God wants to put himself on page so that we may know him. The creator of the universe, the one true living God, has a desire for us, his creation, to know him. And he's put it all right here. Gang, how much time do we spend in his word? I mean, do we recognize that we come before his word with this excitement, this passion to hear what God would have to say, knowing that this changes our lives, knowing that this changes our marriage, knowing that God is the one who created marriage as a husband and a wife to walk in love, joy, and peace. To understand what it is to follow after God, understanding what his word says. That's the power of his word. That's why we are a worship and word church. This is absolutely central to who we are as a church, because this book has the words of life, has eternal life, and it directs us in a way when we need to. Listen, gang, one of my favorite books in this is Proverbs, because it's God's advice to man. You need advice, you go to Proverbs. A lot of times people come sit down with me for counsel. I'm going to Proverbs. Listen, I will give you advice. It'll be from this. And it'll probably be from Proverbs. That's God's advice to us. There's so much in his word. Amen. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says this. I want you to get this. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of man. Gang, please, when I get up here week after week, service after service, don't just please that I made this up, that you're just hearing this thing from a man. But what? That you would accept it for what it really is, the word of God. That's what this really is. God's word to man. And when you can understand that and you can recognize that this right here is actually really God's word to you, then it says this, which also performs its work in those who believe. Those who will respond to it, those who will accept it, those who will believe it, it will perform its work. It will rearrange your marriage, your home. It will rearrange your teenagers. It will rearrange the different areas of your life, your finances. It will rearrange your issues. It will rearrange and come to a place to recognize old is gone, new is come, Christ in me, power and authority. Why? Because you have recognized that it will be effective to those who believe it. So gang, every time we come in this place and every time you crack this open at home, every time you open your devotional and there's a word there, any time you see a verse, you got to believe that it has life and it has power. And it is not a word from man, but that you would receive it for what it really is, the word of God. You got to understand that. God's word to you and me. Come on, Hebrews 4, look at this, please. Verse 12. For the word of God is living and active. First, we got to understand, what is it that we're receiving? When God says, I want you to receive this as not from man, but from me. That's what God says. So what is it that we're receiving? Number one, we're receiving this as a word of God. This is God's word to man. We've got to understand God speaking to us from his word. Then this is what the Bible says. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the divisions of the soul and spirit of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. This is a powerhouse verse. I want you to see this. And the word of God is living and active. That word living there, it means it's alive. It has life. Gang, this word has life. It is living and active. The word active here, it means powerful. When you begin to realize the very thing that we hold in our hand, it brings life. It is alive and it brings authority with it. It brings power. Excuse me. It brings power with it. Now, this is what I love about the Word of God. And when I say this, man, there's so many times that I come to a place to be reading through His Scripture and understanding and asking God, God, speak to me, speak to me. And here, as you understand what it is to read His Scripture, isn't it amazing that it has the ability to read you? The Word of God has the ability to put you and I in a place of conviction, in a place of repentance, in a place of recognizing how far we've gone, recognizing in a place of just how great He is. When we read it, if you're reading it with an open heart, if you're coming to recognizing that it is actually God's Word for me, it is life, it is alive, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing. Now look at this. This is what it is, man. It is piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, and able to judge. Now look at the word judge there. It means to discern. This here has the ability to discern or to judge the thoughts and the intentions of our hearts. Gang, that's huge. It's funny because sometimes people will read this and it will begin to judge their intentions and their motives and their thoughts. And it'll begin to judge their heart. And you know what they do? I'm done with that. But that's the power of the Word of God. Now, for you and I who understand who God is and know His love, the Word of God doesn't restrict us, folks. It frees us. When you recognize, when you're in tune with God and you're walking in a place, now watch now, listen. When you're in a place that you are in tune with God, walking in Him, fired up about Him, living for Him, surrendering your life, coming to a place through any season of life to continue to walk towards Him, continue to walk in faith, you will want the Word of God to judge the intention and motive of your heart. You will desire the Word of God to rearrange who you are. You'll desire the Word of God to come in and cut like a two-edged sword and pierce right through the bone, right through the marrow. Get right to the matter of the heart. Man, you will want that. Man, there's times I get before God, please speak to me, judge me, God. Come to a place, Father, that I will see where I'm wrong in this. And I go to His Word, and there are moments that we go to His Word that we recognize, man, there's that sword again. Man, it has just pierced my heart. Because, God, I see something here that Your Word was able to judge and to discern my thoughts and my intentions of my heart. See, the Word of God is powerful enough to reveal the real you. That's powerful. Now listen, I've got the Amplified Version and the New Living Bible. I want you to see the Living Bible. I want you to see the Amplified Version. For the Word of God speaks. For the Word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the division line of the breath of life for the soul, the immortal, the spirit, and the joints and the marrow, the depths, the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and the purposes of the heart. Look what the Living Bible says. For whatever God says to us is full of living power. It is sharper than the sharpest dagger, cutting swift and deep into our innermost thoughts and desires with all their parts, exposing us for what we really are. And when you understand exposing us for what we really are, there are times that reading the Word of God can be freeing or it can be painful. There are times that when you come before Him with a heart that belongs to Him, say, God, please, I want to walk close to You. I want nothing between us. God, I am Your ambassador. Did you recognize that we're ambassadors of Christ? And then we understand, 2 Corinthians 5, when we understand that we are ambassadors of Christ, that we represent Him. And I often ask myself, God, how am I representing You as one who follows after You, as Your ambassador? How do I represent You? Do I represent You well? Well, there are times that I need to cut things out of my life that don't represent well. Well, where do I find that? Right here. Man, how is it that you receive the Word of God? Do you come before the Word of God with expectation that it will pierce, with expectation that it will reveal the truth and the intentions and the motives of your heart? Come on, 2 Timothy, please, chapter 3. Man, many people know this verse. It's a powerful verse. Describes the Word of God and its effectiveness. Come on, look at this. Again, I'm hoping that every weekend, please hear this. I'm hoping that every weekend you come to Believer's Chapel, you know you're going to hear a word. You know you're going to come in this place. And man, God is going to speak to us in a way that has the ability to rearrange and change our lives weekend after weekend after weekend. That you come with such a high respect for His Word, recognizing the ability that it has to rearrange our lives. Look at this. Verse 16 says this. All Scripture. Folks, that is all Scripture. Old Testament, New Scripture. New Testament. All Scripture is inspired or God-breathed and is profitable. That means beneficial for teaching, reproof, correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God will be adequate, equipped for every good work. Let's break this down. Come on, I want you to see this. All Scripture is inspired by God. Man, how is it? Man, do we understand what it is that we're receiving? Again, it is the Word of God to man. All of this has been inspired or God-breathed. God told man to write. Paul, write this. Timothy, write this. Peter, write this. Moses, write it down. And we just come to a place to see that all Scripture is inspired or God-breathed, and it is profitable. When you come to the Word, you understand it is beneficial that I get into a Scripture. It's not, oh, I've got to read today. Oh, I've got to do my check my box. Read the Bible today. Oh, I didn't do it yesterday. I'm a sinner. I got to get it. Man, gang, will you understand this? Listen, when I came to a place to come back to the living God, to come back to a place on my living room floor, completely broken before God, giving Him everything, recognizing how patient God has been with me. I grew up in the most amazing home. I grew up from tradition after tradition, home after home, with a mom and dad who loved Jesus, who had parents who loved Jesus, to walk in such a way to recognize that there was a point in my life that I turned my back on God. And when that moment when I came back to Him, broken on my living room floor, completely surrendering to Him, it changed everything. And in that, gang, I'm telling you, there was a love in me for His Word. I couldn't get enough of this. I could not get enough of what His Word has said. still to this day can't get enough. As I just continue to soak it in, man, there is so much in this. I'm never going to reach the bottom of all that's in this word. Never. I can't do it. Can't do it. It's so deep, but yet it's so simple. And when you have such a love for Him, you will have a love for His word. Powerful. All scripture is inspired, man. It's beneficial for teaching. This word teaching, it means divine instruction or doctrine. Doctrine is very important. And you come to a place to recognize that doctrine is beneficial. It is divine teaching. And it is beneficial for reproof. And this word reproof is a great word, man. It means proof. It means evidence. It means assurance. When you come to a place to recognize, man, I want that assurance. I want that conviction. So that when you begin to read this, you begin to recognize and understand that it will reveal our misbehavior. It will reveal false doctrine. I compare everything to this. Can you find it here? Can you show me a verse? Please give me a chapter and verse on that, because that sounds a little crazy. All the time. Why? Because the Word of God will do what? It will bring reproof. What will that? It will bring conviction. It will bring assurance. It will identify false doctrine. It will identify misbehavior. That's what the Word of God does. So when people come up and say, well, political view is this, or popular view is this, or everybody's doing that, and I come to this and say, what's God say about that? Because, man, we could really come to a place to recognize, well, this identifies misbehavior. This identifies false doctrine. That is what the benefit of His scripture is. So what is it, folks, that you're receiving? And I love this one. It is beneficial for correction. So many people look at a gavel and a hammer and just, well, that's not what this means. When you get the picture of honestly what the Word of God means when it says it will correct. It will pick up that which has fallen down. It will straighten up that which fell over. Lamp falls over, you go over and you pick it up and you correct it and you put it back. And it will pick up the believer who has stumbled and fallen. Wouldn't that be amazing? If you and I understood the value of a loving God who would give His word because He has such a love for people who are broken. A love for people who have fallen. When you understand one of the benefits of His word to man is that it will straighten up that which is broke. That's what correction means. It'll pick up that which has fallen. Isn't that an amazing picture for the church? Wouldn't it be an amazing picture for us here at Believer's Chapel? That we would be known for what it is to pick up the pieces of one who is broken. For one who has stumbled, to pick him up and help him along. Instead of this horrible, rotten reputation that the church has to kick those who are down. Instead, we come to a place to see the benefit of the Word of God. And when we see somebody who's hurting or broken, we pick them up to get them back on their feet. Because that's what the power of the Word of God does. That's amazing. And then it says that it's beneficial for training in righteousness. That means to be trained in that which is right. Righteousness means right according to God's standard. Not man's, not politics, not your family, not your friends. It is right according to what God says is right. And that's according to His standard. That's it. And the Bible trains us in that. Trains us to identify things that are not right. Trains us to identify things that are against God. Trains us to identify things that say, you know what, that's really not what God said. You know what, that's really not the way, that's not right before God. Why? Because I've been trained according to what His word, what He has said to man, I've been trained. That's the power of the Word of God. And then verse 17 says this, so that the man of God may be adequate or be made fully capable and equipped to be made ready to do every good work. To be equipped, to be made ready to do every good work. Do you realize Ephesians 4 tells me that it's my responsibility to make you ready, to equip the saints for every good work? to equip you, to make you ready. Well, how do we do that? Weekend after weekend after weekend. We always dive in the Word of God because that will equip you and I as individuals, as a church, to do God's work while we have a very short time. Man, this is the power of His Word. The power of His Word when you recognize it, man, when you see it. Come on, I want you to see. What else is it? Psalm 119, 89. I want you to see these couple verses and recognize the very book in your hand, that is timeless. That is forever. It is endless. It has no end. Now, when you understand this, look at this. Forever, O Lord, Your word is settled in heaven. It's not like this is going to change. It's not like God's going to change His mind. Well, that's what I said before, but I'm just, never, ever. You can always bank on this. They banked on it years ago. We can bank on it today. And if the Lord would tarry, they can bank on it for years to come. It is forever settled, established, fixed, unchanging. The grass withers, the flower fades. You know what? I look outside today, I don't see any grass. I don't see any flowers. Why? Because that's the season that we're in. When you understand that there are different seasons in life, there are ups and there are downs. But you know what a constant is that will not change? But the Word of God stands forever. That's a powerful verse when you understand that. The grass withers, the flower fades. We go through different seasons of life. Sometimes our life looks like the winter when there's nothing on the trees. Sometimes our life looks like the trees that are just abundant and full of green. And all of it, you know what the good news is? The Word of our God stands forever, unchanging. 1 Peter 1:25. But the Word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the Word which was preached to you. Unchanging. Stands forever. Folks, how much time do you spend in this work? Come on, seriously, how much time do you spend in God's Word? We sit down with people often. I mean, they just go through this and they go through that and they just always are living down. They never get an uptick. They never walk in victory. And ask them, well, how much time do you spend in His Word? How many decisions have you made that you know are against God's Word? Or maybe you don't know they're against God's Word because you never read God's Word. And I'm convinced the more time we spend in God's Word, the more opportunity we have to live up, live in victory, live with life, live with hope, live with an outcome to know that, man, God is on the throne and God is absolutely in charge. And, man, we see this life that comes within us because you and I spend so much time on our face, so much time studying the Word of God. Man, when you recognize what we do, a constant study, day in and day out, weekend after weekend, after in God's Word, man, that will bring life. That will bring a different a way to see things the way God sees things. That will identify sin in our life that is a foothold, that is chain and bondage to our lives that we didn't recognized before over and over. That's the power of God's Word to set us free. And you and me got to understand that. We got to walk in that. Come on, I want you to see Jeremiah 15:16. It'll be up on the screen. I want you to see this. I'm going to read it. Again, man, when you understand this, again, there's so much in His Word about His Word, but it says this: Your words are found and I ate them. Look at this, gang. How is it when you get into His Word, you approach it? How is it that when you open these pages or you come on a weekend, how is it that you approach the truth? We've recognized that His Word is from Him to us. That's what we're receiving is God's Word. It's alive, it's powerful, it's active, it's effective, it's beneficial to our lives. That's what we are receiving. But when you come to it, how is it that you approach it? Look at what Jeremiah said. Your words were found and I ate them. I mean, can you understand the desire for the Word of God that they would be so deep within you? Look at your words were found, I ate them. Your words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart. Gang, are you there? Do you get so pumped about getting into His Word? Do you get so pumped that, God, I want to know more of You today? God, I want my knowledge to increase of You today. God, I want to know You on a deeper level. God, when I come to You, Your words became for me joy, and it has been the delight or the passion or the pleasure of my heart. When you recognize that God's delight is when we understand that His Word is a delight to our heart. And He says this, for I have been called by Your name, O Lord, God of hosts. Now look at, I want to show you Psalm 119, verse 47 says this. And you can read through Psalm 119. That is over and over. I think it's almost every verse but three talk about the Word of God. That's Psalm 119. I shall delight in your commandments, which I love. I shall delight. It will be my pleasure to be in your commandments, which I love. Come to that place to delight in them and to love them. For if your law had not been my delight, have you been there? Please get this. If your law had not, if I have not found life, and it was, if it would not been my pleasure, then I would have perished in my affliction. That is powerful. How is it that every one of us came to the truth of Jesus Christ? How is it that every one of us came to understand our sin? How is it that everyone who's ever called on the name of Jesus, that they were saved? How is it that that was made possible? Because someone preached this. Because someone got into the Word of God and spoke the good news and gave the gospel message that we may know our position and recognize who God is. And it all comes from here. For if your law had not been my demand, if it wasn't my pleasure, if I never had that opportunity here, if I never had that opportunity to respond to what? Your word. Then I would have perished in my affliction. That's the power of this. How is it that you approach it, folks? Is it your delight? Is it your pleasure? Trouble and anguish have come upon me, yet your commandments are my delight. Job 23 says this. I want you to see this. It says this, my foot has held fast to his path. And I think so many people wander from his path. I think so many people have laid down the truth. I think so many people honestly have come lazy to reading the scripture, have not found it as a benefit, have found it more as a chore than a joy. Or the enemy comes and the seasons of life come, and when things aren't going right, they put away the word. Now look what he says here. And it's coming from Job, who's gone through quite a story here. My foot has held fast to his path. I have kept his way, not turned aside. Please see this. Folks, your life will go where your feet go. How many times do we know people whose feet honestly, literally used to take them to church? How many people do we know their feet used to take them to the couch and get on their face before God over and over and over? Now, literally, their feet take them somewhere else. They don't find themselves in church. Got no time for God. I'm not talking about Believer's Chapel. I'm just talking about church. People who have fallen away. And look what Job says. Going through the struggles that he's gone through, my foot has held fast to his path. I have kept his way and not turned aside. Look at verse 12. This is great. I have not departed from the commands of his lips. For I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. King, how valuable is the Word of God to you? Honestly, how valuable is this to you? Can you come to a place and say, no matter what I'm going through, Job had lost it all. And he comes to a place and says, my foot has held fast to his path. I have kept his way, not turning aside. Then he can say this, I've not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And when you go through a season of life, do you come to a place to say, God, I need you more than I need food? God, I need you to speak to me from your word more than I need food to eat. God, that is my desire for you. That is how we are to value his word. Psalm 119, 127 says this. Therefore, I love your commandments. Above gold, yes, above fine gold. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great spoil. Gang, do you see his word as that valuable? That in certain seasons of life, God, I can't do without this, God. I need this more than I need necessary food, God. That's where I put your word. God, that's where I put my time. That God, I have the ability to hear from you. God, I have the ability to get into this and get wisdom and get advice from the creator of the universe who knows all things. God, there are seasons in life that I need this more than I need food. God, I recognize what I hold in my hand is more precious than a great spoil, than the greatest treasures of all, and it's right here. Gang, how do you approach the Word of God? Do you come hungry? Do you come longing for the Word of God? Do you come searching that God may speak to our lives? Do you come believing, God, it is so valuable to me. God, I cannot get enough of it. God, I came to it and it was like I ate it, God. I needed more of it, God. I just kept coming and it is so valuable to every area of my life. God, it is so valuable to how I'm to walk as a husband, how I'm to walk as a wife. God, it's so valuable on how I am to walk as a teenager, how I am to walk in a way to keep my way pure. Come on, let me read that. Hold on. I think it's Psalm 119:9. Hold on, let me get there. I want to show you this, man. When you understand this, come on. 119, let me get this. Please hear this. Look at this, verse 9. Yeah, Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. Can't you understand the value of this word? For you as a husband or wife, for you as a teenager, for you as a young person, for you as a college student, to recognize, God, I need your direction. God, I need your wisdom. God, I need discernment. God, I need to know your way. God, I need to know your advice. And it says this, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it. How? According to your word. With all my heart, I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word have I treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Come on, let's bow our heads, please. There's more to this, but we got to just stop here because I want to read this again with you just absolutely cluing in, man. Come on, tee off on this. Please hear this. Don't miss this. That you and I would understand the very truth that we have in His word. That we recognize the very value of this word, the power of this word. We come to a place right here. How can a young man keep his way pure? Serious question. By keeping it according to your word. Because we know the word will bring conviction. It will bring reproof. It will bring correction. It will train us in what is right. Please hear this. How can a young man keep his way pure? Well, if you put a lock on his computer. Well, if you put safe eyes on there. If you constantly hound him or her about sin, by keeping it according to your word. How much time are we spending in his word? How much time are we spending allowing God's word to speak to us, allowing God's word to correct us, allowing God's word to bring that conviction, to show us our misbehavior? His word, folks. How much time do we allow His word to pick us up when we've fallen down? To allow His word to come to a place to get us right back on our feet again. With all my heart, I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Folks, is this your passion? Is this how you approach the Word of God? With all my heart. God, I seek after you, God. I'm seeking you with everything in me. And in that, God, that you would not let me wander from your commandments, from your Word. Folks, there are times we just have to seriously go hard after Him. Truly come to a place to lay ourselves down. Come to that place and say, God, with all my heart, I've come after you. I have sought you. I've seeked you, God. I've pursued you with everything in me. And we can simply say, God, please do not let me wander. Keep me in, God. Let your word keep me in, God. Why? Because your word I have treasured in my heart. God, that I may not sin against you. Think about that. We know how great God has been to us. And we know all that God has done for me. We know how much He loves us. We know how patient He is with us. That we can come to a place and say, God, I do not want to sin against you. God, I do not want to displease you. God, I want to walk in a place that is constantly pursuing after you and seeking you and stalking after you, God. God, I just want to come after you. And we don't want to come to a place to walk in sin. God, I've treasured your word in my heart because I don't want to sin against you, God. Folks, is that where your relationship is tonight? That you do have such a relationship with God that you don't want to come to a place to sin against Him. The Bible tells us that we have a treasure in His word. And there is a place for it in our hearts so that we don't have to go sin against Him. How do you approach the word? It is life-changing, folks. It is life-changing. It's not just some book on a shelf. It's not a great end table piece. When you come to receive His word as God's word to you, that you may know Him, that it is life and it is power. And you treasure it in your heart. Then we come to a place to have such a relationship with God that we don't want to sin against Him. God, please. Father, please. God, we come before you tonight. God, have a desire for your word. And I pray that we would have a desire for your word, God. Desire to study your word. Desire to know truth. Desire, Father, to walk in a place to know what you say compared to what everybody else says. God, we'll walk in and identify misbehavior in our lives. Identify that you would train us in what you say is right, God. That we would know what you say is right. So there's nothing the world can say. There's nothing, God, the world view or people's view or public view or popular view could ever convince us otherwise, because we know what you say is right according to your word. Train us in this, God. That's the power of your word, that we stand unashamed and we stand bold. The foundation of your word, that is life-changing. God, thank you. Father, I pray this week you bring life. You bring life to homes as we get into your word. In Jesus' name, amen.